You're listening to The Edge with Terry Waldrop, an on-demand audio presentation of RedPeachSports.com and ESPN977.com. Now here's your host, Terry Waldrop.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome in ESPN977. Terry Waldrop, Jamie Foxx in the very cold, very icy, frozen tundra of what used to be the Colwell Group 1 Realty parking lot here in West Monroe. Appreciate you spending a little part of your frozen morning with us. If you're the kids, I don't know if you're getting out of school. Maybe you will. Maybe you won't. But, Jamie, as I was walking in from the parking lot, my age struck me in the fact that I looked like I was 107 years old trying not to fall on the ice.
Well, Terry, listen, I want to tell you something. I have a new appreciation for you bald guys. I had forgotten. This is tough on you fellas. I mean, you don't realize it, but when you have to face these wintry conditions with no fur on top of the head, it can get a little rough, can't it? And to your credit, you look like you were prepared for it. You had the skull rug on, keeping the old noggin warm. But yes, the apocalypse is upon us. We have what is referred to, I believe, as a wintry mix.
Wintry mix.
We'll call this. It is a bit on the dicey side. So please be careful out there. I think we have had, unfortunately, some folks go off the roadways, but. The thing about it is it's going to get a little, this is what we refer to as nipply weather. Yes, very nipply. About 35 if we're lucky today. And then I think it does warm up probably to 72 by Sunday. But anyway.
It goes to 22 tonight. I heard the weather coming
22 tonight.
Yeah.
That makes sense that it goes to 72 on Monday. So anyway, 50 degree changes in temperature is no big deal around here. But Terry, it has been an interesting, we're complaining about the weather here or amazed by it. But then again, you're PJ Fleck and you don't get a job in would he this is the you take the job at Florida Atlantic or do you take it at Minnesota?
Minnesota.
I mean, I'm just kidding, but
and
I'm
you
saying,
play Florida Atlantic well, every Tracy, time you can.
Tracy Clay's just cold as hell there, so you want to get out of there. So
I asked Buzz Williams that one time when he was at Marquette.
Yeah,
and Buzz and I were on staff together at Navarre. We go way back, and I'm not name dropping. I just thought it was a funny conversation.
Now he's at Vitek.
Like Buzz, how do you recruit guys?
Yeah.
To Marquette. I mean, you're in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where a balmy day in the spring is like freezing.
Yes.
Yeah, you look forward to the days it's just freezing, right? And he goes, we tell them we stay inside a lot, and the other thing is 72 degrees inside every gym in America.
Well, I mean, that's about what your selling point has to be. But Marquette, of course, with a great tradition as well.
Yep. I was up there. Man, that's an unbelievable place. I was up there five or six times during his
Marquette.
Tenure. Yeah, during his tenure there, just going hanging out and going through the paces with him, incredible legacy of Al McGuire.
Right.
Certainly a basketball town. Boy, they're built in. No Marquette football, so basketball is the deal. And but yeah, he said we also recruit a lot of northern kids that are used to it.
is it a more of a inner city type campus where it's more urban, or is it it have some greenery?
It's sort of an urban campus. Of course, there's nothing green up in that part of the country anyway.
Well, not for long, because it is cold 9 months out of the
year.
July
or something.
Yes. By the way, I think, and we're complaining again, think of it as -9 degrees today in Billings, Montana. And by the way, the North Dakota, let's stay up north. The North Dakota State coach was in contention for that. And then again, our dear friend, Lesticles Miles, God love him. I think, could this be your next coach at Western Michigan?
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows?
Just depends on what he wants to do. And, you know, he'd be a great addition on College Game Day.
Oh, yeah. Well, fortunately, he has that opportunity, I believe. So, you know, love him, like him, whatever. Les did a great job, a fantastic job at LSU.
And I don't think we know how good a job he did. I think in a couple years,
yeah.
You might longingly look back at the days when you would win 10 games every year.
Yeah, right now 10 wins looks really good. Right now 9 looks good. But anyway, I think he'll bounce back somewhere, but it is right now he's had a hard time. I don't know, dare I say this, maybe his age might be working a little bit against him. I think Les is 62 or 63, and that may be the only person in the world older than you and me. But I think maybe some reputations preceding Les as far as his, you know, maybe inability to adapt maybe somewhat, but I don't think so. I think you surround him with the right people. I think Les can be successful. And if it takes Western Michigan to get him back on track, let's do it. I mean,
I think Les Miles.
I think he's a good guy. Overall, Les Miles is a good man.
The guy won 78% of his games. People.
I mean,
you know, and again, I think you're going to find out after the fact exactly how good he was at LSU. We're sponsored by our friend, Dr. David Weber, North Monroe Animal Hospital, who's open today, by the way, in case your pet has had too much of a holiday treat. Go by and see him on US 165.
North.
Thank you. Well, let's try that again. Go by and see Dr. Weber on US 165.
North in Monroe.
In Monroe.
Well, Monroe Sterlington.
Yeah, Monroe Sterlington for all your pet needs.
Yes.
We're sponsored in part on our lineup by Pieworks, Gourmet Pizza by Design, Tower Drive in Monroe. Eric and Jay and company over at Pieworks. Ate there yesterday. Good stuff. Hey, I'm pretty excited about this one. In the second segment, here in about 7 or 8 minutes, I've got James DeMayo. Mm-hmm. And some of you guys, you may have heard of him, you may have not. One of the foremost authorities in sports security in the world. This guy has consulted on everything from Super Bowl to the Olympics to you name it. He's going to talk about the security challenges, if you will, in this given day and time, given the crazy things going on in the world. He was on a show right after the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando.
Wow.
Talking about, choke points, things of that nature, training your staff. And not just at big events, Jamie, but also at high school events, at churches, anywhere where there's large groups of people, and the challenges, the technology, everything from drone technology to the cameras. It's absolutely an amazing conversation. We could spend hours on that. But I thought in light of the national championship game coming up Monday, he could give us a little insight into some of those things that go on, because highly stressful situation, I think, for a lot of folks. And not just the ones that put money on the game. So, James DeMayo coming up here in a few minutes.
Not to be confused with Jamie Mayo. This is James
DeMayo.
No, this
is James DeMayo.
Yeah, and as you
both have security concerns, obviously.
Yes, they do. But he does, and I think that's a great. It's going to be fascinating to hear, because he has done events like the Super Bowl. He's been around security concerns for years, and he's foremost authority in the field, one of the most, at least, and. You know, we don't always think about that. We just simply buy a ticket, go to the game. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Be interesting. It is how do you what would be your take on a European soccer game, security wise?
I mean, absolutely.
I'm sure, I mean, how do you know, what do you do there? But
well, it's the same thing you do, because people are dealing with security issues now more so than ever before. I've talked to him several times on the phone. And, you know, just in conversations, you literally have to go through every possible scenario.
Yeah.
And have a way out of it. He has got a background in law enforcement as well. So he was one of the guys that opened the Barclays Center where the New Jersey Nets play.
Right.
The Brooklyn Nets now, I guess that's what they are. But, yeah, it's going to be a fascinating conversation. We're going to have him for one or two segments and get into that. But first I want to do this. Hypocrisy, table for one. Your dinner is now ready. You know, we've talked about the University of North Carolina, the 20-plus year academic cheating scandal that, you know, went over hundreds of kids, and there's been lawsuits filed, and basically the NCAA got so upset, I think they put Coastal Carolina on another, you know, week or two probation.
Yeah, they'll show them.
But the NCAA has proven, once again, they are not to be trifled with, Jamie. The University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point.
Oh, that powerhouse.
The powerhouse Division III, who they are really, really, really good. Matter of fact, they've won national championships in football, basketball, and baseball over the past.
How many branches of the University of Wisconsin are there?
It's like University of New York. There's a million of them.
I know there's like Stevens Point being one of them, but Eau Claire and everywhere.
Whitewater,
yeah, you know, everywhere.
Anyway, the head basketball coach there is a gentleman by the name of Bob Simling. Now, he has a career record of 262-71. Pretty good, right?
Not bad.
He's been suspended for the entire year. He's been coached there since 2005-2006. Now, what egregious things could they find for this guy to be suspended?
Football coach?
No, basketball coach.
Head basketball coach. What's his name again?
Bob Simling.
Bob Simling, head basketball coach at Wisconsin-Stevens Point, has been suspended for a year for the following violation.
Major violations.
Okay.
Allegation number one, and it is alleged in the spring during 2011 and 2012 and through the 2015-16 year, the men's basketball staff impermissibly directed, observed, and engaged in men's student athletes in outside athletically related activities, which means they walked by and saw kids playing a pickup game and perhaps watched.
That comes to my mind.
Horrible. Okay, it gets worse, Jamie. Number two, They also impermissibly observed men's basketball student athletes engaging in athletically related activities outside the institution and declared playing season. Again, they saw people playing pickup games in a rec center somewhere.
Yeah, that's all you can think of at this point.
It's also Coach Simling apparently did not demonstrate that he promoted an atmosphere for compliance because he had personal involvement in the alleged violations. That means his office was likely in the same place, and he walked to his office and saw him playing basketball and didn't report it. And the fourth thing, and the most egregious, this is just beyond the pale of Louisville with the brothels, and you know, they should give him the death penalty here. The institution violated the principles of the rules of compliance when it didn't monitor the men's basketball compliance with the playing and practice seasons and tryout legislation. So apparently what happened, some kids came to campus to visit it, and in Division III, just like Division I, they can't try out when they come on campus. Okay, Division II, you can have tryouts and watch them. But Division III, you can't try out. And a tryout is anything with sports-specific equipment.
Okay,
and this is basketball and football, if you will. But apparently the kids that came on campus actually wanted to play with the kids that were already there, which is legal. And a coach walked by and either saw it, filmed it, watched it, set it up, what have you. But they've suspended him on the year. Meanwhile, the hypocrisy of the North Carolina academic situation rolls on full circle.
This makes about as much sense as, you know, at one point in time, the ULM women's basketball team was pretty strong.
I was in college.
They got good, as Leon Barmore, God love him, said, you got too good too quick. He told Linda Harper that one time, and he was exactly right. Because they got so mad along these same lines. Basically, you remember a girl named Shauna Perry. They brought in from
Jimmy, I was in school with all those girls.
Okay, so you know that situation.
I got inside information here.
Okay, well, basically, the reason I'm bringing this up is again, we're talking about the hypocrisy of the NCAA party of too many. And basically, they accused ULM of, at that point, NLU, of holding illegal tryouts. Or she had an improper whatever. As you indicated in your, you know, she had a basketball, and all the lights are out at Fant Ewing. All of them, she's waiting for a bus. Okay, so that, yeah, there's that illegal transportation, right? She's waiting for a Greyhound bus to take her back to Brookhaven, Mississippi, after her official visit.
Yeah, that was Shauna Perry.
Shauna Perry. And she's shooting layups, free throws, whatever, in a darkened Fant Ewing. There was enough light where she could see. But anyway, that was one of the most egregious things that the NCAA brought out when they hammered them, was you're holding illegal tryout. She's waiting for the bus to take her back, and she's doing what any good basketball player does. She's shooting baskets. I mean, I'm telling you. And then they're letting North Carolina, Roy Williams, scoot with all this stuff. I mean, that's why I can't stand them. They're so hypocritical.
Well, by no means am I throwing Roy Williams, like, giving answers to a test here. But what I'm telling you is you have so much evidence.
Yes.
Over the course. And North Carolina tells NCAA, well, we just don't think it's any of your business. And they actually have a point. If you really want to see some egregious stuff, go look at the University of Miami and all the things that happened there with the NCAA. The NCAA illegally paying dirty lawyers to get information so they could prosecute the dirty players or the dirty involvements, people involved.
To try to nail Shapiro.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Yeah, I know.
That's like hiring Tony Soprano to go after the Godfather.
Yeah, so that.
I mean, and you feel good about that, right?
I mean, their double standards are monumental. And this thing with Shapiro that went on in Miami, and then you're the University of North Carolina, you basically tell them to stick it. I'm sure that's why you don't see any of these. Here's the thing. If you make money, they try to find a way. I guarantee you, you know, if Baylor was winning on a more consistent basis, I think they'd overlook some of this stuff. I really do.
Well, Baylor's a special, special, special deal. That's a whole other topic. I can't do that in 10 seconds.
No.
You're listening to ESPN 97.7, the segment sponsored by our friend Mr. Bobby Manning, appropriately enough. Tremendous local attorney.
He never worked for the NCAA.
No, he wouldn't work for the NCAA. Specializing in criminal offense, wrongful death, personal injury, you name it, Bobby Manning is there for you. Don't delay. Call Bobby today, 318-342-1411. On the other side of the break, sports security expert analysis James DeMayo. Really looking forward to this conversation. going to clue us in on some of the things maybe they have going on for the national championship game, maybe March Madness. We'll see what we can get out of him, and looking forward to it. ESPN 97.7, Terry Waldrop, Jamie Faxx, back in a minute.
Men, you know how you can never find the right gift for that special woman in your life? Here's the answer. From Spa Nouvelle, it's Spa Nouvelle's Spa Day Escape. The Spa Day Escape includes a 90-minute luxurious massage, 90-minute red carpet facial treatment, and lunch. Get her a special gift from Spa Nouvelle, 1705 Lammy Lane in Monroe. Call Spa Nouvelle at 807-1060. That's 807-1060.
Special Olympics of Northeast Louisiana provides athletic competition and year-round sport training for children and adults with intellectual disabilities. It gives them the opportunity to develop fitness, demonstrate courage, and experience the joy of competing. For more information, go to www.laso.org or call 1-800-345-6644.
The following is a message from the Bud Light Party.
This election year, our calendars are filling up with lesser holidays, and it's becoming a problem. There's National Lumpy Rug Day, Shrimp Scampi Day, and Bat Appreciation Day. Everything is worth celebrating with a Bud Light, but come on, Bat Appreciation Day? This message approved by the Bud Light Party. Raise one to right now. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, AB, St. Louis, Missouri.
At Greg Tilly's in Bossier City, we now have five triple wides in stock, up to 2,800 square feet. All can be bought in manufactured or modular construction. Choose your favorite options in your custom decor today at Greg Tilly's.
Living on the edge makes weekdays more fun, especially when you're doing it with Terry Waldrop. Welcome back to the Edge on ESPN 97.7.
Hey, welcome back in ESPN 977. Terry Waldrop, Jamie Foxx hanging out with you here on a little icy Friday morning here, and that's a rarity here in Louisiana, but nonetheless, you can tell your kids about it one day. This segment sponsored by GB Cooley, reminding you to support a worthwhile cause, the Louisiana Special Olympics. Joining us on the Ouachita Valley Federal Credit Union text line and hotline, somebody I'm really looking forward to visiting with, kind of picking his brain a little bit, James DeMayo, sports security expert and very, very well-known person in the industry. James, thanks for joining us this morning.
Terry, good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. I appreciate the conversation.
Oh, man, we're excited to get you on. Now, you know, obviously in our area and where you're at, and James, you're living in Austin. We're in Louisiana, so a lot of focus on football and stuff. You know, with your background, tell us a little bit, maybe as our listeners get into this, a little bit about you and maybe the way that you got into this particular industry.
Absolutely. Good morning, everyone. My name is James A. DeMayo. I'm the founder, president, and CEO of Unified Sports and Entertainment Security Consulting, based here in Austin, Texas. 26 years in the security industry, and I've earned a master's degree in sport management from Adelphi University, Garden City, New York. Since graduating from Adelphi in 2012, I've been focusing on confined space protection for stadiums, venues, and arenas here throughout the United States. And Terry, as we all know, I mean, these are definitely challenging times that we're facing. As a security leader, I'm not one that's really a fearmonger, but more creating a sense of heightened awareness through training, education, and career development resources for the frontline staffers, those being guest services and security that work within those stadiums, venues, and arenas.
Well, James, as we get into you know, the national championship, obviously we've got one, the FCS in Frisco this weekend, up in North Dallas, and then we have the national championship in Florida on Monday night with Alabama and Clemson. Give us some of your thoughts on some of the concerns maybe behind the scenes with the challenges associated with protecting events like that?
Well, Terry, a terrific question. Certainly, in light of the challenges that we're seeing, not only here in the U.S., but throughout the world, it's become kind of a laundry list, an A through Z, with active shooter, workplace violence, any type of drone scenario, inclement weather conditions, certainly IEDs. The threat of terrorism is certainly that's something that's concerning, whether it be international, domestic, or obviously the lone wolf, which, as we all know, is quite unpredictable. So certainly when we have so many people within a confined space, we need to do everything, obviously, we can possible to operate from a position of strength in terms of training, the integration of technology from the command centers, and clear and concise communications, obviously, from command centers to guest services, security, and contracted law enforcement that work within that space.
James, I was going to ask you a little bit. Of course, you know, we recently, and you being from the New York area, familiar with, you know, Times Square and the dropping of the ball and so forth, and you're talking about confined spaces, and that to me represents one of the most, to me, a place where if terrorism were to strike, it would be certainly a place that would be, a you know, what I would say is not a soft target, but certainly a target. Tell us a little bit about what goes into screening people for in a venue like that, where you can get, how do you try to eliminate any type of things entering the entering to the perimeter and so forth. What are some of the things the enforcement folks go through?
Well, certainly the pre-event planning is a key component with safeguarding the space. Terrific question, of course, and as we're seeing now, the integration of technology along with certainly effective screening measures on the ingress and you know, having multiple ingress points as well as egress points. So, you know, instilling the knowledge and training for those gatekeepers, as I call them, giving them the skills, the situational awareness to know what to look for. And there's also the aspect of educating the patron prior to coming to the event, and certainly responsible social media monitoring and codes of conduct that the fans will know about prior to coming to a particular event. I think it's key that we're all in this together, and certainly the ability to have those public-private partnerships between law enforcement and obviously the security groups that work inside those spaces, that everyone is effectively speaking the same language in the interest of public safety.
James, and I know we're sort of jumping around here, but I think it's such a fascinating topic. When you and I were speaking here a while back, you made the comment about, you know, different venues, and I know we've had a situation here in the area that we in Monroe, Louisiana, here maybe about a year or two ago, and you made the statement about people have to understand that different venues host different socioeconomic and different demographic groups. For example, if you have a punk rock band sort of thing coming in as opposed to maybe a May festival or something like that, how important it is to judge the prospective clientele that you're going to have, the patrons, and how does that integrate with maybe social media, technology, things of that nature?
Again, another terrific question, Terry, and certainly, you know, lessons learned and sharing, you know, information, and we saw what happened in Minnesota with the protesters. You know, transparency, realizing, hey, listen, this happened at my venue, let's learn from this, it tests our resolve. But get on the phone with other security directors around the country and share that information. And certainly, as you mentioned, you may have a heavy metal concert one night, a circus the next night, a hockey game two or three nights later. Preparing your staff to understand that the demographics of the crowd that you're attracting to your venue is key in terms of smart deployment. And I always talk about your circles and your circles and your squares and your squares, and certainly having your most effective communicators on the front line, developing a rapport with the fans as they come into the stadium, because that's really, Terry, what it's all about, is the fan experience. If you ask any stadium venue ownership group what keeps them up at night, and they'll tell you it's a security breach in the stadium venue and arena. So certainly understanding demographics, the ebb and flow of crowd control, crowd dynamics, sharing information with one another. Again, if something went wrong in a neighboring city, get on the phone with one of your peers in the industry and share that information. I think that that kind of knowledge gives us the power to operate, again, from a position of strength in terms of mitigating any types of potential risks within the space.
James DeMeo joining us here on ESPN, sports security expert. I guess another question I have, talk a little bit about maybe the technology application in keeping people safe and in integrating that into a dynamic plan, if you will, of the overall sports fan experience without it being a prison type situation, but also having the security that I think everybody would be looking for.
Well, again, another terrific question, and we're seeing certainly with the Golden State Warriors, their brand obviously in the Northern California market is very, very strong, you know, obviously NBA champions, but they've utilized iBeacon technology to create that connectivity with the fan. So So having those security apps on the smartphones, it's all about the fan experience and being able to communicate. You know, you could obviously, through an app, text anonymously if there's an intoxicated fan in Section 101. And that information can be dispatched to the command centers, who in turn can dispatch resources to that area to mitigate that risk as quickly and safely as possible. So again, it's about the fan experience. It's about, you know, return visits time and time again. And I had the pleasure of being part of the leadership group that opened the Barclays Center in 2012. So, you know, learning from that experience and moving forward, visiting Levi's Stadium in Northern California, visiting different command centers and understanding, you know, the integration of technology, training, and just creating that rapport with the fan, I think is key just to, you know, do what you can to make the fan safe and possible day in and day out.
James, a couple of really big events coming up, which I'm sure present some interesting security challenges, the National Championship Monday night and, of course, the Super Bowl. I know this is a really detailed question in the sense that you probably can't cover all of it, but kind of give us an idea. You mentioned pre-planning and the things that go into it and what resources you have to deploy ahead of time, but give us an idea what you look for when you go to a venue and you're looking at maybe the Superdome, for example, or Tampa, where the national championship will be played. What are some of the things you as security personnel look for, and what are the things that for not only crowd control itself, but as you indicated, to enhance the fan experience?
You know, again, JTTF, Joint Terrorism Task Force, the communications between the first responders, EMS, paramedics, face to a name, understanding who are the leaders within the space, pre-event walkthroughs. And one of the things that I prided myself in at the Barclays Center was knowing all the physical attributes of the venue. So have your staff walk around the arena to know where the exit signs are, know where the bathrooms are, know who the key leaders are within the space. I think certainly computer simulations are key, certainly drills, and again, just sharing information, effective communications, clearly, concisely, again, puts everybody in a position of strength to do everything they can. Certainly Clemson and Alabama, I mean, the eyes of the world will be watching Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, but, you know, I know the folks down there right now doing everything they can possible to understand what to do on the ingress, to talk about exterior entertainment zones on the outside of the stadium, to talk about ingress and egress points and mass transportation hubs. These are all the types of conversations that are going on right now as we speak in preparation for Monday night's game.
James, you know, obviously the Monday night game, the Super Bowl, the World Cup, you name it, the Olympics are all very, very high-profile, highly funded operations, and probably security is there's really no limit on how much you can spend on it. I do, in the couple seconds or minutes we have left, I did want to get you on this topic. There's so many, and we have a lot of administrators, coaches, teachers that listen to our show, and if you're talking about soft targets, high school targets, things of that nature, I know when I lived in Dallas-Fort Worth, the big thing in high schools, especially in gymnasiums, they would not let the different schools cross to the other school's sideline or behind their bench. School A had to stay on school A's side. School B had to stay on school B's. And that was to prevent violence or things of that nature going on. You mentioned being able to get away from the bottlenecks, things of that nature. But given the fact that so many of these high schools – recreational events, etc., use volunteers. How big of a challenge is that to train the volunteers that are not being paid for it? If they're being paid, it's very little. And what level of experience can you get those people up to in order to ensure a good fan experience for the high school viewers?
Well, again, certainly volunteers, like everyone working within the space, need to be properly credentialed and vetted. And it's just a question of sharing information and trying to empower them to do what they can to be leaders within the space. And what you're mentioning is a concern, certainly with event staff, with high turnover is a concern. But I think as a leader in the industry, one of the things that I'm trying to do is just create some more awareness to what we're talking about. So all those folks that you mentioned as volunteers, they need to have, personal situational awareness. And that's not something that happens overnight. They cannot look at the event from tunnel vision, but actually from a wide-angle lens. And they need to, obviously, one of the things that I learned in law enforcement in 21 years is everything, that we do has to be reasonable and necessary. And if they don't have answers to specific questions, there are certain leaders within that space that they can turn to and that, obviously, they can learn from to grow It's a terrific question. We do the best we can with the resources we have, Terry, but at the end of the day, I think the proactive risk mitigation and the technology integration are key. We're doing everything we can to protect that space.
Well, last question for you, and I definitely want to get you back on because this is an interesting topic, and we get you back on, we're going to open it up to questions from our listeners on the text line and the hotline. But if you could project into the future, and the way that technology is advancing, I'm not going to give you to tell you to give me 20 years into the future. What do you see in terms of sports security, event security, maybe a year, 2 years, three years down the line? That's going to be different maybe than what we're doing today. When I go to a Dallas Cowboys game or to a New Orleans Saints game, I sort of understand the process, I think, now as a fan that I go through. They search my wife's purse and stuff like that. Is there anything noticeable that we're going to see maybe in the next year, 2 years, that you could maybe preempt and give us a little bit of a preview for?
Well, again, I think the training aspect is very, very important, but certainly technology is fueling and driving the sports and entertainment industry. And I think that's where the connectivity comes, and that's where the marketers have the challenge, Terry, between the home theater experience and getting the fans to actually come out and experience the event in a live and type of in-person experience. So, you know, certainly the challenges will continue on a daily basis, but I think it's key for all of us to again, share information and do everything we can. And one of the groups that I'm involved with is the National Center for Spectator Sports Safety and Security, NCS4. I have a professional membership with them. They're affiliated with the University of Southern Mississippi. So there are a lot of resources out there that folks that are interested in going into this field can avail themselves of. Obviously, the International Association of Venue Managers in the Dallas area is another group. So there are these consortiums. But certainly, you know, I think this is becoming a highly specialized niche market within the sports and entertainment industry. And I'm proud to do whatever I can, Terry, to make my impact within the space. And I certainly appreciate the opportunity to have, as you mentioned earlier, this timely conversation in light of the challenges that we're seeing on a daily basis.
James, appreciate you coming on. Before we let you go, is there a website other than the one that you just mentioned that maybe people could find out a little bit more about you or about this particular industry that you would suggest?
Well, terrific question. Thank you. I'll be rolling out my website in early February. But certainly I'm on LinkedIn and Twitter and I have a couple of groups, Sports Security Professionals and Central Texas Sports and Entertainment Network, obviously. But my goal is to just continue to write, to research, obviously continue these types of conversations, Terry. And with your help, certainly, we can get the message out there about reaching a larger audience in terms of what we have to do to be as safe as possible and enjoy the experience at our stadiums, venues, and arenas throughout the United States.
James DeMeo, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an enlightening conversation. Definitely want to get you back on, and we'll pursue this maybe around NCAA basketball tournament time. Some challenges and
Excellent.
Opportunities there. Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you, James.
Thank you, Terry. Take care, gentlemen. Thank you. Bye-bye.
James DeMeo, certainly.
Wow.
It's a little bit out of our norm, maybe, Jamie, to do that, but it's certainly something that is at the forefront of everybody's thoughts today.
Well, post 9/11, you know, this is the things that we have to be, you know, cognizant of.
Well, when the lights went out in the Superdome, in the Super Bowl, what was everybody's initial thought?
Yeah,
I know mine, and I'm not afraid to admit that. I'm not ashamed to admit that. I thought, I hope nothing, nefarious people have been involved, and unfortunately, it's just something that we live with this day and time. This guy, they do some fascinating research. I've read quite a bit about it. I've been involved a little bit with some things like that. But, yeah, good stuff. We'll definitely get him back on. We are late for a break. You're listening to ESPN 977. Terry Waldrop, Jamie Foxx. Thanks again to James DeMeo for coming on. This segment sponsored by Vantage Health Plans and Affinity Health Group. When you got open enrollment, Vantage Health Plans, Affinity Health Group. Back in a minute.
It was a tough time.
I didn't know what to do.
You gave me hope.
You fought for me.
You treated me like family.
Now we say thanks.
It's good to know we can count on Bobby.
I'm attorney Bobby Manning. If you've been involved in an accident, don't delay. Call me today. Attorney Bobby Manning, office in Monroe. Call 324-1411.
Sir, I need to talk to you.
Yeah.
I told you, you have to start paying your phone bill. And you owe me $50 for gas. You have responsibilities now, and you need to start taking care of it.
Yeah.
Are you even listening?
Yeah.
You can't even look away from your phone when I'm talking to you?
Done. Just did it with Washtar Valley's online banking app. It allowed me to transfer your money, and I just paid my phone bill. Plus, I even set myself a budget using the system. You sir should be proud.
Let me take a look at that.
Washtar Valley, making good things happen.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
It was a moment.
It was a moment that changed my life.
We looked down from the chopper and saw the whole area was flooded.
At that moment, it really hit me. This is why I joined the Guard.
People had gone up to the rooftops to escape the rising waters.
Talk about intense moments. We had to lower the guides online some 30 feet down.
This is where teamwork and training really paid off.
It took steady nerves and steady hands for the chopper pilots to hover like that.
No question, Guard pilots are the best in the world.
I couldn't believe it. I just saved a life.
What could be better than serving the people of my hometown?
In the National Guard, you serve your community as well as your country. While you work or attend college, in return, you gain skills in which you can build a career and receive benefits that can help you pay for college. Learn more about what it means to be a citizen soldier at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana National Guard, aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
How does it feel? You're officially living on the edge. Hit Terry Waldrop up at 888-993-7762 and let him know. It's The Edge with Terry Waldrop on ESPN 97.7.
Hey, welcome back in. ESPN 977, Terry Waldrop, Jamie Foxx here. Short segment here before our last one. Again, special thanks to James DeMayo. Got several texts in on him.
Maybe we need him in charge of security here.
Security at the Colwell Group 1 Realty
yes.
building?
Well, see, you just gave it that first.
I thought that's what the girl next door
right
did.
There. Yeah. Well, she should. You don't mind if she's in charge of security. But again, we're very grateful to him because, I mean, you think about this thing, Terry. I'm amazed sometimes about how complacency sets in. You mentioned James was one of the people that at the Pulse nightclub
he did an interview the day after that happened.
Yeah.
And you know, it just so happened he had I think it was a Security Man podcast, which mm-hmm. is a very industry specific podcast, but nonetheless very right. popular. And talking about people trying to the same reasons. You ever been to a new high school, Jamie?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. The way that high schools are designed these days, especially the big ones, theoretically, you should be able to stand in one hall or at one end of the building and look completely down to the other end of the building. Okay, that's why all the doors are flush and everything. And, you know, some of the ones they built, they have the crooks in the corners. And, you know, you can't monitor those things. Well, the same way that it is very successful and very easy to monitor also gives you challenges sometimes in terms of bottlenecks where people are going to be when everybody's trying to get out of the
True.
Building.
Right.
And so he talked – we didn't get into that with him, but
– he talked about egress and so forth. Yeah.
Yeah, certainly. So interesting. Jim, if you would hold through the break, man, I'm going to catch you on the backside of this because I don't want to lose the train of thought here that we have on this. But talking about the high school targets – and a personal story here, after 9/11, you and I were talking about this on the break. I was a college athletic director in addition to being a basketball coach. In post 9/11, you know, we've got several teams in season. We've got soccer going on. We got volleyball going on. We have cross country and track going on. And so we had to have meetings, as everybody did across the country, with what to do if your team is playing in a venue out of state, out of the region, and something crazy goes on. Because you remember, they grounded the planes post 9/11.
This is true.
So if you were playing, you know, if you're from California and you're playing in Texas, you're staying in Texas for a while. It's a long bus trip back. So the contingency planning on it. Well, high schools do the same thing. And now, you know, if you go to, like I went to the Superdome Classic 2 years ago in football. And you walk through and they basically, they search the women's bags, things of that nature. There's none of the metal scanners. And if you go to a lot of high school games across the country, as I've been to, tons of them have metal detectors. Now, the challenges with that, you got to have somebody, A, that can understand how to do the metal detector, but B, and more importantly, what if somebody dings through that metal detector? How do you disarm that person? What's the recourse there? Are you putting more people in danger? So there's a lot of moving parts to this. But when James was talking before, and again, he's not a fearmonger. He's just a situational awareness individual. And with Homeland Security, I think there's some dollars tied into that. But certainly a lot of high school sports, a lot of college sports, they mention the word fan engagement. You know, when I don't feel like I'm safe in an environment, I'm probably not going to go. I've never felt not safe in an environment, but I will tell you, and I think all of us felt that way, and I don't mind admitting it, post 9/11, I'd went to a couple LSU games, I'd flown on planes. I'm going to be honest with you, I wasn't as at ease as I typically would be on situations like that. So, you know, with the Boston Marathon bombing that happened, certainly all these events, the fact that, and you and I talked about this, and we were wrong, I was wrong, with the situation in Rio. You know, I thought that was going to be rife for potential issues. I still think, you know, there's a bunch of stuff we didn't hear probably behind the scenes as they're here with anything. But is this something that concerns people? I don't know that it is or it isn't, but you talk about massive amounts of people in a very confined space. And so it is it's certainly an ongoing challenge, if you will. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I think that comes to my mind is the Boston Marathon bombing.
Yeah.
How difficult security must have been when you've got so much open spaces. And I don't think complacency set in. I just think, you know, there's people out there that are getting smarter on how to maim and harm us, and the challenges those present. And as you indicated, I mean, one of the things is you don't want to get to where people are afraid to go to venues anymore. This is one of the great freedoms we enjoy in this country, and that's what he's trying to protect.
You know, and it is a challenge. You know, you see the drones out there. I've been to football games this year. Well, there'll be four or five drones in the air. And, you know, some of the more expensive ones, you can take them way up where you can't see them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the cheap ones, like the people I know, they're flying low enough so you can check them out. But, you know, if you can fit them with a camera, there's a lot of things you could fit on there. And that's why I asked him about the technology. They're really big because when I was talking to him off the air, I think it was yesterday we spoke, or maybe the day before, he was talking to me about being involved with the Pulse investigation, the nightclub in Florida that was the guy went and killed all those people. They were getting real-time information from Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, Snapchat. All the real-time information being provided from actually people inside that venue.
Yeah.
And he talked about, and I know a lot of colleges do now, just about every college in America, their athletic department will monitor people's social media. And, you know, if you're a recruit, the best way you could lose opportunity, become a complete imbecile on social media. Tweet out, just take your pick of favorite things to tweet out. And as a coach myself, we got off people because some of their social media stuff.
Absolutely.
It's just, but the real-time integration of social media, of real-time data, of people there, it's amazing with all the things going on with the cameras, with the facial recognition software. Jamie, it's incredible. You talk about an interesting industry. This is certainly something that's a niche market. It fascinates me. And, again, you look at the national championship, can you imagine the stress level for some of those security people? And, again, they could care less who wins. Their goal is to get everybody in and out safely in a period of, probably about 6 hours?
Tops, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Crazy stuff going on. At any rate, I thought it was interesting. Again, we sort of do things a little different here on the Edge, so thought it'd be interesting to get that the Friday before the national championship game. We're going to go ahead and take our last break. You're listening to ESPN 977. Jamie Foxx, Terry Waldrop. We are sponsored this segment by my friend Drew and company. It's Spa Nouvelle. Lemmy Lane and Monroe pamper the special people in your life. Look, go take it.
Be a good day to do it.
It'd be a great day to do it, man. It's icy, nasty outside. Get somebody a massage treatment from Spa Nouvelle. 318-807-1060. Spinavelle, Monroe. Back in a minute.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Oh, my God!
Put your smile.
Every Tuesday night at 9:30 p.m. after WWE SmackDown, step into the ring with me, Rick Diamond, for exclusive shoot interviews with pro wrestling's biggest stars like Teddy Long, Rikishi, Vicky Guerrero, Tommy Dreamer, and good old JR, Jim Ross. It's the Rick Diamond Show on ESPN Radio 97.7. Glorious!
Did you make a New Year's resolution to get fit in 2017 but don't know where to start? Peak Sports Nutrition in Ruston can help you reach your goals. Whether you want to lose weight or improve athletic performance, reach your peak potential with sports supplements from Peak Sports Nutrition. Follow Peak Nutrition Ruston on Facebook.
It's Legendary Life Tips with Brett Favre.
Hey, you got any grilling tips for me?
Hey, grilling steaks is all about the timing. Knock out 300 push-ups and then flip that bad boy. And here's another tip. Go to favrates.com for a great quote from Farm Bureau.
Push-ups.
Thank you. Get great auto rates, local agents, and fast claims at favrates.com from Farm Bureau Insurance.
In Jackson Parish, call Eddie Simpson at 259-4082.
Good morning. Here's latest weather conditions for the area. Cloudy skies, cold temperatures with a slight chance of snow for today and a high of 35 degrees. Clearing and very cold tonight, a low 22. Sunny skies, warmer temperatures on tomorrow and a high of 37 degrees.
I'm back and I'm better than ever. Got a knack for making things better. Face facts, 'cause your opinion don't matter. This maniac is gonna step on whomever.
The Edge with Terry Waldrop is back and better than ever. Hit Terry up at 888-993-7762 to join in on all the fun.
Hey, welcome back in. ESPN 97.7, The Edge on a icy, blustery winter day here, January 6th.
Wintry mix.
I wonder who came up with that one. Mm-hmm. Probably somebody coined the phrase for that. Appreciate you joining us. This segment sponsored by our friend Dr. David Weber, North Monroe Animal Hospital. Speaking of security, and again, we have some Auburn super fans in the midst in our 97.7 family. Nick Brown being the chief and foremost
unapologetic, yes.
Auburn fan, which is great. I got
Cam
no
Newton
with Auburn.
Fan, president of the Cam Newton fan club.
You know, we've talked about the tumors, corners, the trees that got poisoned by the former Texas State Trooper that was an Alabama fan.
Harvey, the lovely and vivacious Harvey Updike.
Harvey
now
Updike.
Living in our fair state. Now yeah. paying now that should make you feel. By the way, Harvey missed his last bond hearing, I believe. So he's. I think they've sworn out a warrant in Lee County for one Mr. Updike. So, he's probably trying to find a way to get to Tampa.
Yeah, no I'm question. Sure. He's hitchhiking. But anyway, the trees at Toomer's Corner,
yes.
very often tradition in Auburn. He poisoned them, called the radio show, told him he poisoned them. I think it was the Feinbaum
it
show.
Was. It was.
Anyway, they ended up, he got arrested, all kind of trouble. So they replanted the trees. And this is a big thing for Auburn. Anyway, after the LSU-Auburn game, in which Auburn won by 0.1 seconds, a German man, Joachim Weist.
Spell that for us, Sherry.
No. did I say he's German?
That's close enough.
You know, you're good a enough. Serious football fan when you come from, I mean, you know, we go from Monroe maybe to Baton Rouge for an LSU game. Dude came from Germany.
If you're Joachim, it's a good chance you're from Germany.
Yeah, he came from Germany. He pleaded guilty and apologized for setting a fire that engulfed an oak tree at Toomer's Corner.
Well, first of all, let's talk about what was set on fire. The tradition is, they call it Rolling Toomer's Corner, where they throw toilet paper, which is, you know, why not? I guess it could be Scott paper towels, but in this case, it's toilet paper. And I've got to go to bat here for Mr. Vest or Joachim.
Weist.
You know, where he's from, marijuana and hashish and all that stuff's legal. I mean, they can sell it on the street, Amsterdam or whatever. Let's just say he's in that. He was relatively new to the tradition. He thought that was a big old joint he was fixing to light up. and he was not aware that toilet paper was so flammable. But anyway, he maybe a little pyrotechnic background. But anyway, that's what happened. He thought he was fixing to light a big old bong there, and that didn't quite come out. And then he was a little gal. I can't remember her name, but I saw her. She's the one that kind of said, "Hey, watch it there, Joaquin. You've just
crossed the line.
Crossed the line there, buddy. That's we just planted these bad boys here. Now you're fixing. Are you related to Harvey Updike or something like that?" So anyway,
German cousin.
Yeah. So I mean, you can't win at Auburn. I mean, you get Harvey trying to poison your trees. You got this German guy trying to light a big old bong on fire on the toilet paper, and you can't win. I mean, you're trying to light your tree. I mean, goodness gracious. War Eagle. Come on
just
now.
Just what it cost him.
How much did Joaquin get?
$20,000.
$23,000, I think. Then they hit him for $23,000 for something else? Or?
He had to avoid jail time, and he's got 5 years probation.
Well, here's what I think they should do. I think there should have been some prison time involved in this. And he should be cellmates with Harvey, and they can discuss how, you know, they do these sort of things. They'll probably be, knowing our luck, they'll probably both be sent to Louisiana. But Joaquin escapes, right? He doesn't have to serve any jail time. He just has to agree not to light up big old bongs in the middle of Toomer's Corner and toilet paper.
Yeah, don't torch the oak trees.
Don't torch.
You think they're a little sensitive over that?
I could understand that. Probably the best investment Auburn can make right now is a sprinkler system in Toomer's Corner. That would help. But anyway,
maybe we call James DeMayo and get some drones overhead.
There will be drones over Toomer's Corner this year. You can
maybe,
bet that.
Maybe we could rig the drones, Jamie, with like the agent that puts out fires. Like mm-hmm. What is it? They use baking soda.
Yeah,
that goes over the hoods in
sure.
restaurants. Maybe we have those circling nonstop, and you see Joaquin showing up, and it just peppers him with baking soda.
Well, you know, how do you address if you're James DeMayo and you're big in security? How do you handle this one? You know, you've got a bunch of trees. Everybody's there's all sorts of egresses and ingresses, as he says, and it's not really a confined space. Thank goodness. But I mean, you could have a real if those things had caught on. I mean, there's so many people in that area trying to get away from it. You know, if those things had really gone up, this guy really. I mean, it's a very we're not trying to make light of it. It's a very serious offense because. The potential life-threatening, demonstration. He did this, and apparently he didn't. I don't know how he pled out the way he did, but apparently for him to avoid jail time, I think is pretty fascinating.
Well, you're talking about a massive loss of life. And, you know, we're all from Louisiana here, and you know, we're all well aware of how compact the French Quarter is,
mm-hmm.
and that's why they're so over the top with the fire codes, things of that nature down there.
Sure.
Because, you know, something goes up, everything is going to go up. And yeah, yes, I guess at the end of the day, and I'm gonna bet that alcohol and or substances possibly had a little bit to do with this.
Well, let's just say maybe fueled by that.
A little Oktoberfest early,
probably going. Yeah, I mean that's probably. I mean he's just to him that was hey, this is what we do. We light the toilet paper on fire in Wüstenstadt or whatever. You know, Oktoberfest. You know, he was wondering. Listen. He was just looking for the next beer stand. By the way, my brother served a few years in Germany, and he said that's the greatest stuff. And my mother went over and spent a month with him. I said, how the hell did you deal with Mom? And you know, my father-in-law, he said, what do you think I did? I took him to the pubs.
It's hot beer over there,
Hot beer, yeah. Room temperature. And Mom would go in there and have a pint or two. And, you know, she's a lot, you know, she loved it. And, you know, let's take Mom through the Black Forest now, going about 90 miles an hour. She doesn't care.
The Autobahn.
I mean, he loved it over there, and but Joaquin, it just I mean, you know, he was not familiar with it. And you know, there again, little translation issue there. He didn't realize that you can't light up Toomer's Corner.
How's Joaquin going to the LSU Auburn game, and I'm not? Something with that.
Well, there again, you know,
Joaquin funded obviously funded better than I am.
Yes. Well, it didn't seem like it really hurt him to come up with this $20,000 either. I mean, he kind of like, okay, well, I got that in my wallet. So, I mean, he doesn't seem to be really, you know, poor Harvey. I mean, Harvey's paying up, you know, look, he got sentenced to Louisiana. He has to live with his in-laws. I mean, that to me is punishment enough. I mean, why, you know, I'll take jail time or live with the in-laws. I mean, you tell me.
joining us here on the other side. I thought he would, I thought he had called back. I didn't realize he was still hanging in. My apologies to you, Jim.
Jim.
I thought you were calling back. I didn't know you were still on the line. My apologies. Joining us on the Ouachita Valley Federal Credit Union hotline, our friend, our confidant, the guy that's never lit up Toomer's Corner that we know of.
He may want to.
He may want to. Jim, what's up, man?
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing?
And by the way, Jim's never poisoned a tree either.
No, I hug in trees, baby. I don't pull it.
Jim the tree hugger.
I like that.
Now, look, I consider myself a charter member of the Edge, along with, and I figure that we all old geezers.
Right.
So I want y'all to do me a favor now. Think about this. Quit drinking the Clemson Kool-Aid, boys. It ain't going to work. I hear a lot of
I don't think so either.
Yeah. I hear a lot of them folks on this radio station I listen to constantly talking about, well, Clemson is. Last time I checked, Nick Saban was still the head coach at Alabama. The defense was still intact, and the offense will be fine. Don't drink the Kool-Aid, fellas. It ain't going to be pretty. I'm telling you.
What do you see a final score being, Jim?
I think it'll be closer than most people think. I think 31-17.
I wouldn't discount that. I'm hoping Clemson wins. I think it'd be good for football.
I think
Alabama's going to win. Do what?
We already had the drug test. Nick Brown.
I've been hanging out with Claus, or what's his name, from
Joaquin.
Yeah, Joaquin.
I think he was at Toomer's Corner that day. Well, man, look at the bomb, dude.
Yeah. Big old ball, yeah, okay. Joaquin. Yeah.
I'm not a fan of Updike. I'm not a fan of Fritz. I'm not a fan of any of those people that do crazy stuff. But I'm crazy as a fan. I'm not crazy as a lunatic,
Yeah.
What's your thought on Kiffin, being put out?
Glad he's gone. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, yeah. You watch the game, Terry, and you tell me. How many times did he call a run play for Paul Hurts and he'd get to the line of scrimmage and bam? That ain't what we need to do. And, I'm telling you, and Harris is also back there. You got O.J. Howard that can line up anywhere. You got Ridley that can line up anywhere. You got Stewart that can line up anywhere. I mean, any one of those receivers become a running back in a heartbeat. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they can turn that corner. They don't have to go up. And I know Clemson's got a good defense, but look who we played. LSU's got a much better defense than Clemson. I'm telling you. LSU would beat them right now if they played them.
I think it's going to be an interesting game. I think you're right. Yeah, I think it's going to be a closer game than people think.
Yeah, it's going to be close. But don't drink the Kool-Aid, fellas, if you listen to Obama Jim. Now, I ain't telling you to go out and bet the house on it. Don't drink the Kool-Aid.
What's the spread? Is it, a 7-point spread still?
7 points. And one more thing you got to realize. Vegas ain't stupid. They ain't in the business of losing money in the books. I'm telling you. They ain't stupid.
You heard it here on the Edge. Jim, I appreciate you joining us. Apologize.
Yes,
I didn't realize you were hanging
weekend.
On that long, man.
I'm retired, Terry. I got nothing to do but hang out.
God bless you. You're my hero. Call us back Tuesday and either eat crow or to celebrate. I think you're probably going to be celebrating, though, to be honest.
Well, it's probably going to be Wednesday because I like for Puff to be there. I'm a fan of Puff. Me and Puff think a lot alike, as you do, too.
That's a scary thing, man. That's
yes, it is.
Scary.
It really, really
appreciate
is.
You joining us, Jim. God. And we are late to get out here, folks. Thanks for joining us today on this wintry mix day, if you will. Thanks to our sponsors, Vantage Health Plans, Affinity Health Group. When you got open enrollment, check them out. GB Cooling, reminding you to support a worthwhile cause, Louisiana Special Olympics. Our North Louisiana All-Star Attorney, Mr. Bobby Manning. Criminal defense, wrongful death, personal injury. Don't delay. Call Bobby today at 318-342-1411. Drew & Company at Spa Nouvelle, 318-807-1060. Spa Nouvelle, Lammy Lane and Monroe. Pamper the special people in your life. Our friends at Pieworks Gourmet Pizza by Design. Look, you can't beat that today. Go in there. It's cold. $7.99 lunch special, pizza and a drink. That would be the place to get out of the cold at. And our title sponsor, One Dr. David Weber, North Monroe Animal Hospital, U.S. 165
North
in Monroe. Go by and see him, 318-345-4545. Tell him all these fine folks. You heard about it on ESPN 97.7 and The Edge. So for Jamie Foxx, for John Tabor, I'm Terry Waldrop. Guys, make sure you stay tuned for the sports company this afternoon with Sean Foxx. I'll probably give you up-to-the-minute weather reports and who knows what else they'll talk about. Always entertaining, sometimes enraging, oftentimes enlightening, sort of like our show in some ways, but it's 3 hours of it. Anyway, for everybody else, folks, you guys have a great weekend. Aloha. See you later.
Thanks for listening to The Edge with Terry Waldrop. Tune in live every weekday at ESPN977.com or subscribe to the show in iTunes, on Stitcher, or at RedPeachSports.com.
Run to Old Navy today. It's your very last chance to get the year's biggest denim deal. All jeans are 50% off. That's right. All jeans are 50% off at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. But you'd better hurry. Today's the last day. Valid 224 and 225. Excludes clearance.